Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you to both Symphony Church and Journey Community Church. It's a privilege for me to be preaching for both churches this morning. If you do not know me, my name is Pastor Dave Kwan. I'm the pastor here at Journey Community Church. And it's just an honor for me to be sharing the word with both congregations this morning. I'd like to welcome any newcomers. If you are checking us out for the first time, I'm glad you are visiting us, and I really hope that the Lord would bless you this morning. Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3, and we're just going to read three verses this morning from verses 22 to 25. And if you've been with us, you know that Pastor Barry has started a series on what it means to trust God, what it means to trust in God. And this morning, I'm going to continue in that series, and I want to talk about a specific topic when it comes to trusting in God, which is trusting God with our work. And so the title of today's message is called Jesus and Our Work. And again, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 to 25. So I'm going to read these verses for us, and then I'll pray, and then we'll get into the message together. Starting at verse 22, the Apostle Paul writes, "Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality." Let me pray for us, and then we'll get into the word. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. Thank you that you are a God of love, that you are faithful to us. And Lord, we pray that as we've been in this series on trust, we pray that more than just knowing it in our heads, that Lord, you would help us to live it out in our lives, that we would absolutely trust you in every single arena of our life. And God, even as we talk about this topic of work, we just pray that you would help us to trust you in whatever calling of work that you have placed us in right now. So Lord, we pray that you would speak to us through your word. We depend on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, like I mentioned, we're going to be talking about the topic of work. And I want to start today's message by sharing with you my first job that I ever had. My first job was back in high school. My senior year of high school, I applied for a busboy waiter position at a local restaurant right near my house. And I got the job, and so a couple days a week, I would go into this restaurant, and I would bus tables, and I would wait, and I would serve people. And the money was decent, but after a while, I don't know if you ever worked in the food industry, you start to notice that people are rude. Sometimes customers are rude. And then my place that I particularly worked at, my coworkers were not very nice, and the conditions that I worked in weren't the most favorable of conditions. And after a while, about a few months into my job, I had a desire to just quit and stop my job. But I actually finished out my job until I graduated high school. But I share that this morning because I think every single one of us have had moments in our life where we wanted to quit our jobs. We wanted to find different kind of employment somewhere else because we simply did not like the work that we have been given. Now I want to say this, that all jobs are tough. Work can feel like toil and pain. And that's what we want to talk about this morning, this topic of work. And we want to especially talk about how does God come into the picture of work and how do we trust God in our work. Now, when I say work, I want to just make some clarifications here. Work is whatever God has called you to in this stage of your life. So you might be an artist. Your work might be a full-time student. Your work might be a business owner. You might be working in a company. Your work right now might be a full-time mom or a parent. That's what I want to identify as work. And what we want to look at this morning, and really the main idea as we look at this passage, is God has called us to find meaning and also serve Him through our work. I'm going to repeat that one more time. God has called us to find meaning and serve Him in our work. What I simply want to say is this, that our work matters to God. Our work matters to God. And the question we want to ask as we go into this message is simply this. Well, if we are called to serve God in and through our work, then the question we want to ask is, well, how do we do that? How do we actually serve the Lord and trust God in our work? And I think that's very important for us to ask, because many of us, we're working right now. And so we want to understand what the Bible says, especially what God says about the topic of work. Why talk about work? I just want to just point out a couple of things. Work, all of us here, we're a call to work, right? We're going to be working somewhere at some point of our lives. And so whether we're working now, whether we're maybe trying to find a job, I know many people have graduated or looking for work right now. We are either working or we are trying to find work in our lives. And so it's very important. Not only that, most of our time is spent at work. I think it was about 85% of our time is spent at work. You think about that. That's a lot of time. They say that right now the retirement age is actually 67 years old, but many people actually work into their 70s and also their 80s. And so work is such a big part of our lives. Think about it. 40 to 60 hours, we are spending our time at work. And believe it or not, God actually has a lot to say about work through Scripture. And so when we look at this passage specifically, we want to look at this topic of work in three headings. First, we want to look at God's view of work. Then we want to look at the pitfalls of work. And then lastly, we want to look at the attitudes that we should have towards work. And so we want to first start off by talking about God's view of work. God's view of work. Now, specifically in this passage in Colossians, Paul is talking about earthly relationships. And so we didn't read these passages, but right before this, Paul talks about wives and husbands, how that we are called to love and serve one another. Right after that, he talks about children, how children are called to obey their parents. Then he talks about fathers and not to provoke their children. And right here, he uses and talks about this idea of bondservant and slave. Now, I just want to clarify what Paul is talking about here. Now, Paul is addressing bondservants and masters, right? The slave-master relationship. And I just want to clarify what he's actually addressing here. Now, some people might read this passage and say, well, doesn't this mean that the Bible condones slavery? And I don't think that's actually what it's saying here. The way that the Romans actually had slaves and what we think about slavery here in America are vastly different. Here in America, when you think about the historical context of slavery, it was based on race and it was lifelong. But when you think about the Roman context, the Roman slavery context, it's unlike what we think about slavery today in America. It was not based on race. It was not forced upon people. It was not permanent. Slaves had rights. And so oftentimes, slaves would actually want to work for certain people so that they could get not only payment, but certain benefits from working under certain people. And so this idea of bondservant really is this idea of contractual work. You actually were enslaved or you were a slave to someone for a certain amount of time until your contract is ended. Now, I also want to say, yes, were there injustices? Of course. Because whenever you have a system like this, there will be injustices. But what I want to say here is that the Bible does not condone slavery in the way that we see it. I think what Paul is really getting at is really this idea of an employer to employee relationship. That's what we want to talk about here. And I think that's really what Paul is addressing when he talks about this idea of earthly relationships. Now, with that being said, I just want to give us a biblical perspective of what God says about work. In the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, we see here that God himself is a worker, right? You think about creation, God created the world out of nothing. So if you read Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, it says, God created the heavens and the earth and rested on the seventh day. And so we see God, and we see the image of God creating, molding, and working the world, forming the world from nothing into something. And so God himself is a worker. And because we are made in the image of God, we are also called and created to work as well. Work is not a consequence of sin, but really is woven in the fabric of creation. I think sometimes when we think about work, we think about, well, it's the result of sin, because yes, work is difficult. Yes, work can be toilsome. But when we look at the very beginning, the context of work, we are actually called to work. I just want to point out a couple other things. When God created, He also saw it as good, meaning that God also enjoyed work. He delighted in His work, and He also served others in His work. If you read Genesis, starting at chapter 1, verses 22 to 28, it says, God blessed the animals. God blessed humanity. And why did He bless them? So they could be a blessing to others. And so God's purpose in work was that we can serve others through our work. But we all know what happens, right? In Genesis chapter 3, the fall comes. And as a result of the fall, work is now cursed. So when you think about work right now, it's hard. It's less fruitful. Sometimes it's not satisfying. It's draining. Oftentimes there are wrong motives for work. It can be toilsome and frustrating. You think about people who maybe don't respond to emails. When you think about work, maybe in your circumstance, work is stressful. It's exhausting. There's frustration and setbacks because work now is cursed. It's affected by the fall. Oftentimes, it's often hard to find meaning in our work. I worked in the technology field for about 8 years before I went into full-time ministry. And my first job in college, getting exposed to the technology field, was I worked at a student laboratory, a computer student laboratory. And one of my jobs in my lab was simply to update all the computers and wipe all the monitors once the lab was closed. And I did this on a consistent basis. And I just became a Christian when I started working at this lab. And I remember as I was, you know, watching, updating all these computers and wiping down all these monitors, I would have this thought and I would ask myself, well, what does updating computers, what does answering questions about technology and wiping these monitors clean have to do with the kingdom of God? I often thought, well, what does this job actually have to do with God's mission here on earth? And I think all of us, we have moments like that in our jobs, right? Or whatever God has called us to do. What does this work actually have to do with the kingdom of God? And that's really a result of the fall, because we often feel like we are purposeless in our work. But we often need to understand that God has come to redeem work. And so God created work. There's the fallen nature of work, but also God has come. Christ came. He has given us victory over sin and death because of what He's done on the cross. And now He's come not only to redeem work, but to redeem our lives. And so Christ has come. And for us, He has redeemed us as people. He's given us salvation, but He's also redeeming everything else here on earth. And one of those things is our work. And because of that, our work does matter to God. We should have an eternal perspective when it comes to our work. I just want to draw two lessons of what this means for us. Number one, we should have a high view of work. We should have a high view of work because your work and my work absolutely matters to God. You think about the things that you do right now as a part-time student, maybe you're a full-time worker. The things that we do actually do matter to God. Not only that, we should also have a realistic view of work. And what do I mean by that? Work is cursed and now it's broken. As I mentioned before, yes, you will face stress at work. Yes, you will find times where you will not be fulfilled or satisfied by your work. There will be times where your coworkers will, you and your coworkers will not get along because of the fall, work is now cursed. And oftentimes we can find ourselves in a place where work is simply not fulfilling in our lives. I was reading an interesting article this week, this New York Times article, and it said that most people in this generation will change jobs between 5 and 14 times by the age of 35. Think about that. 5 to 14 job changes by the time you're 35 years old. And I think when I read that, I just realized that we need to understand that work will never fully satisfy us to the way that we often think work should satisfy us. And we need to understand the good news is God has come to redeem our work. Our work does have significance, not only in our lives, but also in the kingdom of God. Which leads us to our second lesson, or our heading is simply this. We want to look at the pitfalls of work. The pitfalls of work. Now, I want to read again verse 22 and 23, because I think Paul sets up what it means to actually work. And this is what he says here. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And so when you read chapter 3 in Colossians, what Paul is actually doing is he's reminding the believers in the church of Colossae the motivation for everything that we do in the Christian life. If you read the beginning of chapter 3, he reminds the believers that we have been raised with Christ. And as a result of that, that we are to set our hearts and minds on things above. And I think the summary verse of the entire book of Colossians comes in verse 17. And this is what it says here. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so what Paul is saying is simply this. Everything that we do, in light of what Christ has done, we do it for the name of the Lord, in word and in deed. Everything that we do is for the Lord. And so what does that mean? What does it mean to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? It means simply this, that our motivation is now Jesus. It's not for ourselves. It's not for others. But everything that we do is for the name of the Lord. We want to honor Christ in all that we do, which also includes our work. I was reminded, and I'm sure you remember this, in August of 2019, the very famous rapper Kanye West came out and declared that he was now a Christian. And I don't know if you remember this interview, but he had this interview with Jimmy Kimmel. And as they were dialoguing, Jimmy Kimmel asked Kanye West this question. He said, "Would you consider yourself to be a Christian artist now?" And I love what Kanye West said. He said, "No, I'm a Christian everything. I'm a Christian everything." Meaning, Kanye was simply saying, Christ is everything to me. Not only am I a Christian artist, but everything that I do is now motivated by Christ. And I think in the same way, that's what Paul reminds us of as well. Everything that we do in our earthly relationships and in our work, our motivation is Christ and Christ himself. It's unto the Lord, really, the reason why that we work. And so what are some pitfalls? Well, if we don't work unto the Lord, I think there's two main pitfalls that we can fall into when it comes to work. Number one is simply this. We have the wrong motivation of work, and then Paul addresses it here. He says that oftentimes, if our motivation is not unto the Lord, then oftentimes we can do it for eye service, people pleasing, or working for men. Working for men. Now, this word eye service is interesting. It's really this idea that you only work when people are looking, right? So that, for example, like maybe you're really lazy, but when your boss comes, you start working really hard, right? Or you want to be a people pleaser, right? You only do things to please people or your boss or your employer, and that's why you work hard, because you want them to notice you in the work that you do. This could also come into church life, right? Maybe, you know, you're a volunteer at church, and you only work hard because you want people to notice you, to think that you are spiritual. That's what it means by eye service or people pleasing. And so a few reasons why we do that and some of the pitfalls. Again, two pitfalls that I see here. Number one, we do that to gain identity. Identity. Now, oftentimes, if we don't do it for the Lord, work becomes our identity. And that's really the first pitfall that we see here, right? Many times, we believe in the lie that if I had a certain job, then I would be satisfied. What it becomes is our job, our work becomes our identity. I don't know how many times, as I talk to young people for many, many years, many times the assumption they make is if I worked at a certain company, if I worked in a certain city, my life would be complete. But that's really a false idea and narrative, because only Christ can complete us. Our jobs can never fully satisfy us. I want to say this. When our work moves from something you do to something you are, then oftentimes we feel very empty. And we always are left very joyless, because we're always searching for the next or better thing. This is a good reminder for me, because as a pastor, I love my job. I love what I do. I love ministering. I love preaching the word of God. But if I'm not careful, I often can replace what I do for God over who God says I already am. And so oftentimes, if I'm not careful, I can equate my performance or what I do to my value in God's eyes. Same thing for us who are working in the corporate world. Maybe some of us, we replace God's voice or our identity by the voice of our coworkers, or our status, or a promotion, or how much money we make. We need to remind ourselves that only God Himself can tell us how valued we are, how much we are cherished, and how much we are loved, way more than any title of a job. See, work is a terrible master. When work becomes our identity, it often becomes idolatry. And we all know that whatever you put ahead of God in our lives, oftentimes, not only will it fail us, but it will also disappoint us. And so we need to understand that the first pitfall when it comes to wrong motivations of work is that we use work as our identity. I love what Tim Keller said in his book, Every Good Endeavor. I think he summarizes it well. He puts it like this. Work is not all there is to life. You will not have a meaningful life without work, but you cannot say that your work is the meaning of your life. If you make any work the purpose of your life, even if that work is church ministry, you create an idol that rivals God. Your relationship with God is the most important foundation for your life. And indeed, it keeps all the other factors, work, friendship, and family, leisure, and pleasure, from becoming so important to you that they become addicting and distorted. I think he puts that very well. The second pitfall, not only does it become our identity, but work becomes our security. Work becomes our security. You see, if we have the wrong motivation, if our motivation, as Paul says here, is simply eye service or people pleasing, or we work for men, what we do is we make our work our sole source of security, more than God Himself. You see, if we place work as ultimate security, we often have feelings of anxiety, worry, and fear, right? What if I lose my job? What if I don't get promoted? What if people don't recognize what I do? So we always live in constant fear and anxiety if we replace work as our ultimate source of security. Paul says here in verse 22, what is the motivation for our work? He says, fearing the Lord. See, we don't work for men, but we actually ultimately fear the Lord. And if we fear the Lord, here's what I want to say here. We ultimately believe that God is in control. You see, when it comes to this idea of fear, this is not some kind of dreadful panic that Paul is talking about here. He's talking about this healthy fear where we understand that God is in control of every single aspect of our lives. What happens if we don't fear God, in not only in our jobs, but in every arena of our lives? We simply feel like, well, we have to be in control now. And oftentimes, you know what that results in? It results in overworking, being a workaholic, or simply worrying about what your boss thinks about you. See, I want to remind us this morning that we are called to trust God, not our jobs, for ultimate provision. We are called to trust God and not our jobs for ultimate provision. Yes, God does provide our jobs, in our lives so that he will provide for us, but that should not be our sole source of security. We declare that God himself is our source of trust. See, that's where trust and work comes in. If we make our jobs our idols, we often lose trust in God. But when we put our trust in God and God alone, doesn't matter what happens at work. Doesn't matter if we're unemployed. We declare that he himself is our source of trust. Does that describe you this morning? When you think about your motivation for work, is it for the Lord, or are we doing it to please people, or maybe please the people in our work? And Paul is addressing simply that we are called as believers to do our jobs, our work, unto the Lord. So where does that leave us this morning? I want to just end our time by giving us some practical applications, some attitudes that we ought to have for our work. So I want to start by giving us five applications. The first one is simply this. Would you pray for the right motivation for your work? Pray for the right motivation for your work. See, you and I, if we're not careful, we can have an unhealthy view of work. We can either be really lazy or we can overwork in our lives. And I think that all comes from a wrong heart, a wrong motivation when it comes to our work. Simply, I want to ask you, what is the motivation of your work? Why do you go to your job? Why do you do the things that you do in your employment? Is it for money? Is it for recognition? Is it for status, promotion, or success? And I think a follow-up to that is simply, do we seek the eye service of people as a result of that? Maybe, you know, we want to do things to, again, look good in the eyes of other people, but we are reminded that our work and our careers is not for us, it's not for our parents, it is ultimately for the Lord. Pray for the right heart. When you go into your job Monday morning, when you are a student on your campus, would you pray that whatever you do, that you would do it for the Lord? And I think when we do that, it gives us the right perspective when it comes to the jobs, careers, and work that God has called us to. The second application I want to say this is this. Obey in everything. Obey in everything. Again, in verse 22, Paul says, bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. Now, when he says obey in everything, what he's saying is this. Be a good worker. Whatever your boss calls you to do, do it well. That's really what he's getting at here. As much as we can, follow the instructions of those who are above us, especially in the workplace. Now notice here, Paul doesn't say anything about your boss being terrible or your employer being terrible, right? Oftentimes, the way that we think about, you know, doing things for our boss is only if they're a good boss, I'll do it for them. But again, if the motivation of our work is unto the Lord, then it changes our perspective, especially when it comes to the people above us. And so we ultimately are doing it for the Lord. But we also need to understand that we didn't read this verse, but in Colossians 4:1, it says, masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. And so maybe you are a boss. Maybe you're the one who oversees people. Paul says the same thing, that you are also called to treat your employees with being fair to them and treating them well. Now, I want to also make this point here. We are to obey, but not to the point of sin. Because ultimately, we represent Christ in our workplace. And so anytime there's this line that's crossed or about to be crossed where we are sinning or we oppose God in whatever instruction that our boss has given us, our earthly authority, then I think that's where we draw a line. I heard a story this week of a particular Christian who got a great job at this well-known firm. And his job, as he was a consultant in this one firm, he was to wine and dine his clients. So whenever they came into town, he would take them to golf, nice restaurants, he would take them to entertainment. And he shares the story of how one time his boss told him to take these clients to a strip club. And he was torn of what to do, and he didn't end up taking them there. He said they can go by themselves, but what he ended up doing is he actually resigned the next day because he realized that that crossed boundaries, his ethical lines. It did not please God to do these things as part of his job. You see, our allegiance to Christ always has to be ahead of our allegiance to the people that we work for. That's really, I think, what Paul is saying when he says, obey in everything that you do. The third application that we see here is be diligent and excellent in your work. Be diligent and excellent in your work. Verse 23 says it like this: whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. This word work heartily, it literally is translated for with all of your soul or out of your soul. That's how you were called to do your work. And so it really means that for us, it's don't do the bare minimum, right? Don't just get by when it comes to your work, right? Don't just look good when people are around. But what he's saying is that whatever God has called you to, do it with all of your heart. Be diligent and excellent with the work that God has given you. I think specifically what it means for us, maybe you're a full-time worker, it means things like be on time, right? It means don't cut corners. Do whatever God has called you to do with all of your heart, heartedly. If you are a student, it means being an excellent student, right? Not cutting corners in our academics, or it simply means even things like going to class. That's what it means to be an excellent student. And that's what Paul exhorts us to do. Be diligent and excellent in our work. The fourth thing I see here is work with integrity. Work with integrity. Again, verse 24, Paul puts it like this: knowing that from the Lord, you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. And so as he's finishing off this letter, Paul reminds us that we will be accountable to every single action, not only here on this earth, but especially in the workplace. And so what he's saying is that when we work, when we go into our jobs, we are called to work with the standard of integrity. Because one day, we will be accountable for everything that we've done here on this earth. And so he says, when you go into your job, when you're at your workplace, represent Christ. And I know that there are situations in the workplace where there's gossip and cheating and laziness. And what Paul says, don't fall into the temptation of some of these things that we see in our workplace, but you represent Christ because one day you and I will be accountable to everything that we've done, especially in our jobs. Again, I've been in the corporate world for a number of years, and just being in the work culture, I know, and I've seen people who especially lie, steal, leave early, gossip, talk bad about the boss. And I will say this, just very admittedly, it is very easy for us to go along with some of this kind of, temptations and things that other people do in the workplace. Well, Paul says here that when we work in Jesus' name, we need to recognize and understand that we actually have a greater boss, that we will ultimately be accountable for everything that we do, and God will be our judge. And so, again, as we go into our jobs and our workplaces, simply do it unto the Lord and really understand that it's ultimately God that we work for. Yes, we are to be accountable to the people over us in our earthly relationships, but we are ultimately accountable to God himself, which leads us to our last application, which is look to the perfect worker, Jesus himself. Look to the perfect worker, Jesus himself. What do? When we have those moments where we don't feel like working, or we're lazy, or we have the wrong motivation, we look to Jesus, who was the ultimate worker. Jesus came on this earth. He actually was a carpenter. He worked for 33 years of his life. And he, not only that, the ultimate work that he did was he demonstrated it on the cross. He lived the life that we could not live, He died the death that we should have died. Whoever puts their faith in that good news, not only will they have eternal life, but our lives will ultimately be transformed. And part of that is that our work is also transformed as well. You see, when we put our faith in Christ, we ultimately serve God, but through that, we also serve others as well. What we say, you know, in our lives is simply that Christ is my identity and security, not any form of work. We say that Christ is the only one that could fully satisfy us, not our jobs. We go into our workplaces knowing that we have a greater purpose in our work, that we ultimately serve Christ. We also recognize that we are called to serve others in our work, just as God served others when he made creation. And so that's what the gospel reminds us of. It simply reminds us that we do have a different and eternal perspective when it comes to our work and our jobs. I want to close with this, and I love what Tim Keller says again here in his book, and I just want to close with this quote. He says this: "The gospel frees us from the relentless pressure of having to prove ourselves and secure our identity through work, for we are already proven and secure." Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer as we close our time. You know, before we pray, I just want to take a minute for us to respond to God's word. And can you take a minute and pray for just your motivation of your work? Again, maybe God has called you in this season to be a student, to have a full-time job. Maybe you're starting an internship. Can you pray just for a few minutes? Say, "Lord, give me the right perspective. Help me to go into my workplace. Help me to be a parent that ultimately serves you and honors you, that fears you." And I pray that as we do that, God would give us the right kind of motivation to do the work that God has called us to do. So can we just do that for a minute? Let's pray for our hearts. And then after that, I'm going to pray and then we'll close our time. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time. Thank you. Just a reminder. Pray that you would help us, Lord, to have the right motivation in all that we do, Lord. In word and deed, help us to, God, understand that we do it ultimately for you. So, come, God, change our hearts, Lord. And just that being said, can you also lift up your specific area of work? Again, maybe you're a student. If you could just maybe lift up your academics and pray that you will be an excellent student. If you are working full-time, can you lift up your company, your boss, your coworkers, and pray that through your life that Christ would be exalted, that Christ would be displayed? So can you do that? Just pray for your area of work that God has called you to. Pray for specific names and people in your workplace. So can we just do that for a minute? And then I'll pray and then we'll close our time. Let me pray for us and close our time. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you for the reminder that, God, you are a worker, and Lord, we are called to work. And Lord, we fully recognize that work can often be stressful, toilsome, and frustrating. But Lord, we pray that we would be reminded that ultimately, God, we want to do it for you, that we do it for you. God, remind us that you have called us in our workplaces for a reason. And sometimes it may seem very purposeless in the things that we do. But Lord, we pray that if we can understand that we have been called for a purpose, wherever you called us, I pray that that would give us the right motivation and really give us diligence in what you've called us to do. So God, we just thank you again. Help us to not only know this, but apply it in our lives this upcoming week. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Really thankful for that message. At this time, I want to invite us to enter into a time of offering. And as you know, at Symphony, we believe the best offering that we can bring to our God is an offering of our hearts. It's an offering of trust in Him. And the way that we do this is through our connection forms. And so if you would go to the app again or to your computer and go to that connection card, you know, there's a section there that says next steps. And if there's something that the Lord is asking of you and you want to say yes to Him today, I invite you to check off a box or write in your own next step and make that really the most important part of your offering, along with any tithes and offerings that you, financial offerings that you have planned today. Perhaps today is the day that you will decide to trust in Jesus for the work that He has done for you, and you're going to make Him your Lord and your Savior. Your work cannot save you, but Jesus' work does. And so I invite you to put your hope and your trust in Him. At the same time, our work is for the service of the Lord, as we heard today. And so perhaps there are specific next steps that the Lord is asking you to take in terms of surrendering your work, finding meaning in your work in Jesus, doing all things for Him. Whatever it is, put that in the connection card and make that your offering. If you have prayer requests, as you go down below in the connection card, there's a section that says prayer requests. Please let us know how we can be praying for you this week. And the staff at Symphony will be praying. I'll just give you a moment to do that, and then I will close for us. Father, we just thank You, Lord, for Your word to us today. We thank You that You are the one, Lord, who worked for us. Lord, that work on the cross was effective, Lord, for all of us. I thank You, Lord. At the same time, You invite us to bring our work, Lord, to You, that our work has redemptive potential, that our work is meant to be used, Lord, for Your kingdom. It's meant to advance, God, Your goodness and Lord, sometimes even Your gospel. And so, Lord, we praise You, God, for that. Lord, I ask that You continue to work in our hearts and help us, Lord, to really examine our days, to examine, Lord, our motivations, to examine, Lord, why it is that we do the work that we do. And I pray, God, in the end, it would really be all for You. Lord, that all of our work would be as unto You, not as unto people, the approval of people. Lord, we just thank You, God. Work in Symphony Church, Lord. Help us to work, Lord God, in and bless, Lord, those around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hope to see you in the Zoom room, and let's continue to pray together. God bless.